decided to follow Jesus. One of the things that we know about as we read Scripture, especially as we've been studying the book of Revelation, is that everyone is going to follow. Everyone is. The question is, who are they going to follow? What are they going to follow? Everyone is going to be a disciple, but who's going to be or what's going to be their master? That's the question. And every single day, that question stares us right in the face, whether we're looking in the mirror or not. Who will be your Lord? Who will be God? Who will be your master? Whose disciple are you going to be? In our scripture lessons for tonight, we meet once again the words of the great I Am. Jesus says, I am. I'm the bread of life. I am food for you. I am the living water. I am a thirst-quenching beverage for you. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. I am. Following Jesus. Following, I am the Christ. The light of the world that shines in the darkness and no darkness can overcome. Arise, shine. The glory of the Lord has come. The people who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The people who were walking there, who were living there, and who are now captured by that doom and gloom, have had a word of hope announced. Isaiah chapter 9. The light is shining. Keep in mind, Zebulun and Naphtali, the two farthest out northern tribes of Israel, the Galilee of the Gentiles. They were the first to be carted off when the Assyrians captured, when they were under attack. Zebulun and Naphtali, they were captured. They were defeated. And they were the first when the exile ended, 538 BC, to experience liberty and release. Isaiah is not just proclaiming that God's people were set free from bondage and captivity to the Babylonians. It's not just our captivity to Rome that we need to be set free from. It's not just our captivity to the Egyptians that we need to be set free from. But there is a darkness called sin and death that we need to be set free from. And this is the light that shines. That's why in our gospel reading for tonight, Jesus is making his launch pad of mission, Galilee of the Gentiles, to fulfill the prophet Isaiah, to fulfill Scripture, because the light is not just liberating us from earthly physical captivity, but the light of the world, Jesus, sets us free from sin and death and the evil one. Arise, your light has come. Jesus, the light of the world, chooses to live in you and through you as hope and salvation, as mercy and forgiveness to and for the world. Who are we going to follow? Following, I am Jesus, the great I am. Our gospel reading for tonight, as you noticed, began with a rather alarming announcement. John the Baptizer has been put in prison. Someone is trying to stomp out or shut up the good news. We know John the Baptizer. We know that he's the one that resisted but finally submitted to the will of God. It was fitting to fulfill all righteousness, so he baptized Jesus. And Jesus, as you may recall, has spent 40 days in the wilderness being tested and tempted by the devil, and the angels ministered to him. And now we're told this ominous word. John is arrested. And you know the rest of that story. He's arrested because he wouldn't keep his mouth shut. Because he pointed the finger at Herod Antipas and said, when you took your brother's wife and you had sex with her, that was wrong. And you need to be repenting of that. Remember what he said when he was baptizing all the people in the wilderness? John said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? So we would have expected that it would have been the religious leaders that would have shut him up, locked him up in prison. But no, it's Herod Antipas. He's trying to put a lid on the good news. Well, as the story unfolds, Herod will have a birthday, he'll have a party, and Herodias will do some dancing, and then he'll shoot off his big mouth, and he'll say, whatever you want as a prize for what you just did for us, name it, claim it, it's yours. And she'll say, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And he's beheaded. And his body is taken by his disciples and buried. You see what I'm getting at? A simple little detail in our gospel lesson for tonight, as it begins, is an ominous note. Because Jesus is going to call people to follow him. And Bonhoeffer says when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Or on our discipleship covenants every year. I mean, you read the bottom of that right by where you're signing your name. It's a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer that says, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. And right away, we're given that warning when it says, now when John was put in prison. We know how that story ends. So, here's the question. What are you going to do when your cousin, the one that baptized you into the righteousness of God, is put in prison? Well, maybe you're going to run for the hills. Maybe you're going to get out of town fast. What does Jesus do? He doubles down. It's amazing. He doubles down. What Jesus does is that he withdraws to Galilee. Did you hear that word? He withdraws to Galilee. And Galilee was the stronghold of Herod Antipas. It's where he ruled. That's why later in the gospel he'll say, you go and tell that fox that today and tomorrow I'm casting out demons, I'm performing cures, and on the third day I finish my course. It's like when he says to Peter in Matthew 16, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And for years I thought, okay, so here's the church, we got to have some protection, let's build some walls. The gates of hell won't prevail. You see, hell is the one that has the gates trying to protect itself. And Jesus and his disciples, the church, were on the attack. We're launching an assault. And Jesus says, we're going to start right up there in the headquarters of Herod Antipas. And this is going to be to fulfill Scripture. The prophet Isaiah, Naphtali, Zebulun, Galilee of the Gentiles, the launch pad for the kingdom of God. And so when Jesus heard that John was arrested, he doubles down and he immediately starts to proclaim the gospel. He says, repent. You keep on repenting. It's a present tense verb. Because the kingdom of heaven is here and now. In your face. I mean, that's the way I like to look at it. He's not hunkering in the bunker. He's not running away and hiding. He goes right after him and says, repent. The kingdom of heaven is in your face. And he preached good news. Now, what are you going to do when you've got a major person on your staff, like John the Baptist, and they put him in prison? I mean, you don't just replace somebody like that, you know. It's not a one for one. What are you going to do? John's locked up. So Jesus is walking throughout Galilee, and he's healing, and he's preaching, and he's teaching, and he's seeing, because that's what Epiphany is. Beholding, seeing, revealing. And he sees two brothers, Peter and Andrew. They're in the middle of a cast. I'm not talking a fishing rod, okay? They were doing drag nets, right? So they got these big nets, and they're in the middle of casting out their nets. And I suppose half of the net is still on the rib of the boat and in the water dangling. And Jesus says, "Hey, you, and you, follow me." And they did what? They said, "You're nuts, you're crazy. We've already heard about you. We know the reputation. We know what happened to your cousin. Ain't going to go anywhere near you, buddy." No, did they say, "Well, you're talking about a career change, a vocational adjustment. I think I should go home and talk to my family about this. Give me 2 or 3 days." This is the amazing thing about the gospel. When Jesus preaches it, it's a performative word. It's a causative word. It guarantees results. "Follow me." And they immediately follow. And then he goes a little bit further, and there's two more brothers, James and John, and they're in the boat, and they're mending their net because they're getting ready to do some more fishing. And they're with their father Zebedee, and he says, and you, follow me." And immediately, they do. That's the thing I noticed this week. I thought, okay, so Herod is putting John the Baptizer out of the game, right? Put him out of commission, if you will. So Jesus doubles down and says, "No problem. You. It's going to take 4 of you, but that's okay. I'm going to need lots of people to get out there to do the work that John's been doing." And they follow him. Absolutely amazing. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Salvation is free. Discipleship will cost you your life. One of my favorite hymns from the LBW, you're going to recognize these words. "They cast their nets in Galilee, just off the hills of Brown. Such happy, simple fisher folk before the Lord came down, before the Lord came down. Contented, peaceful fishermen before they ever knew the peace of God that filled their hearts brimful and broke them to brimful and broke them to. Young John, who trimmed the flapping sail, homeless in Patmos died. Peter, who hauled the taming net, head down was crucified. Head down was crucified. The peace of God, it is no peace, but strife closed in the sod." That's talking about a casket, you know. "But let us pray for but one thing, the marvelous peace of God. The marvelous peace of God." Everyone's going to follow. The question is, who or what will everyone follow? Who's going to master or be their master in life? Jesus simply says, with the pointer finger, You, follow me. And immediately, they do. The people who have been dwelling, living, walking in a complete blackout, the power is on. The people who have been living, walking, dwelling in a complete blackout, the power is on. Jesus is the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. There was a gentleman a number of years ago, young man started a business, a dime store. I remember growing up in Wisconsin when I was a kid going to a dime store. You could get a lot of stuff for a nickel or a dime or a quarter, even a penny in those days. This man had a dime store. He was faithful to the Lord. He was a devoted follower of Christ. The Lord helped him to succeed in his business, but he was getting older. He needed to pass the baton on to one of his kids. And so he had three kids, and he gave them each a dollar and an assignment, a challenge. I want you to bring something that will fill this entire room. You've got a dollar to do it with. They all accepted the challenge, and they went out. And they all came back with what they had purchased. The first child, they had two bales of hay. Took the twine off, started throwing it, and there was straw and dust all over the place. But then it settled down and didn't fill the whole room. The second child went out with a dollar and bought two feather pillows. Busted them open and had feathers all over the place. But then they settled down and fell to the floor and didn't fill the whole room. The third child, he came back and he said, "Dad, I took 50 cents of that dollar and I invested it. And then I gave 20 cents away to the church and another 20 cents away to a charity. And I had a dime left. And I bought two things. A candle and matches." So he took the candle and he lit it. And then he shut the light off. And the whole room was filled. And the father said, "You'll be taking care of the business, the dime store." God has put the light of Christ in us. That little children's song, you know, "This little light of mine, hide it under a bushel," that's nuts. Of course not. "Let Satan take a at it," of course not. What are you going to do with that light? Well, you let it shine, right? You put it on a lampstand so that it can light up the whole area, so that everyone is blessed and benefits from it. That's what we do with light as followers of Christ. That's what Donna did. Hope Kids USA. She started volunteering as a mentor years ago in Chicago. Then she and her husband moved to Houston, Texas, and she kept volunteering. And that meant as a mentor, she needed to go into the school and be a friend to one little kid once a week. So in Houston, Texas, there was a little boy, 6, 7 years old, named John. Every week she'd go in there, read with him, help him with his math, help him with his homework, be a friend. Every week she did that. And then she went the extra mile. On Saturdays, with the permission of his mother, who was working full-time and trying to raise her son alone, she would take him to a ball game, or to the zoo, or to the art gallery, or the museum, and they would have fun together. And then suddenly, unexpectedly, Donna's husband died one night in his sleep, right next to her in bed. Donna was an active follower of Jesus, a regular in her church. There was a funeral at the church, and then there was the reception, the meal. And throughout the entire reception, you know who was standing right next to Donna and holding her hand? That little 6-7-year-old John. And some of the good people, they came up and they said, you know, John, there's a table of goodies over there. There's punch, there's all kinds of chocolate chip cookies. Why don't you go over there and help yourself? And little John, just shaking his head, no, no, I need to stay here. And he did, holding the hand of Donna throughout that whole afternoon. Why? Because she had been the gift of light in his life. And so now he was there holding on to that light and being hope and encouragement for his mentor. And another person that showed up at Donna's husband's funeral, a 38-year-old man from Chicago who had been flying in for a week once every year in the summer to help Donna and her husband out with projects. When Donna had lived in Chicago with Hope Kids USA, she had been this man's mentor when he was in kindergarten. And every time he saw Donna, he said, "Who I am today is because you showed me Jesus. Because you believed in me, and into the darkness that I was walking through, you always helped me to see light, the love of God, and the hope that God gives." You see what it means to be light? Everyone is going to follow somebody. That's a given. The peace of God, it is no peace, but strife clothed in the sod. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Salvation is free. Discipleship is going to cost you your life. Praise God. Praise God that we get to die for someone and something that has eternal value. Everyone else is going to die too, you know. But for who? For what? So let us pray for but one thing. The marvelous peace of God. Jesus, the light of the world, he shines in you and through you for the world. Jesus says, lighten up. Lighten up. Follow me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.